Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Tight end position, you guys. You love your offensive linemen, but you love your quarterback the most. And Trey, you just got done with a year playing with two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Carson Wentz, he goes down with the injury. Nick Foles even elevates his game. And now you've got Mitchell Trubisky as your QB1. Everyone in Chicago seems to be excited. You have new eyes on this guy. What are your initial impressions from Mitchell Trubisky, the second overall pick from last year's draft?
Yeah, he's special. You know, he fits right in the category with Carson and the way he prepares, his physical attributes on the field, his athleticism. So it's just going to be really interesting when, you know, the bullets are flying and, you know, he's able to get hit and tackle and things like that, you know, how everything goes. But I'm really excited, extremely impressed so far, and definitely have no doubt, you know, in his ability and what he's able to do.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's Trey Burton, your new U tight end. He moves around in Matt Nagy's offense on Good Morning Football with Peter Schrager. This hour on The Score brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. I know we both have been reading this guy forever and have never had him on the air, so we welcome him to The Score, the editor of Pro Football Talk, Michael David Smith. How's it going, Michael? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Outstanding, because we're only 10 days away. 10 days away from the Bears breaking a sweat in Kankakee County, and my partner, Michael, is scratching his head why Mitch Trubisky is not garnering any respect from Madden, the video game, or our buddy Paul Charchian, the fantasy football guru. What is an appropriate expectation in your mind of Mitchell Trubisky now in year two?
Well, the first expectation has to be improvement. I mean, you have to see him take a step forward from year one to year two. Is it the kind of step forward that a Carson Wentz showed or a Jared Goff showed? I don't know that that's realistic, but it has to be improvement. And specifically, it's almost as much, maybe even more, on the new head coach, Matt Nagy, as it is on Mitchell Trubisky. Because let's face it, when John Fox was the coach for 3 years, that offense never looked good, and it didn't matter who the quarterback was, the offense never looked good. With a new coach who has a good reputation, you have to see improvement from your young quarterback. And if you don't see improvement, you really start to wonder how big a mess the Bears have on their hands. Because, you know, let's face it, last place 3 years in a row with John Fox, it doesn't get much worse than that. I just think some measure of improvement, some notable amount of improvement just has to come out of year two with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, because Michael, don't get it twisted. Like, I don't think that he should be garnering any sort of, you know, top half of the league type of preseason expectations. But this is a guy who had two games where he completed over 70%, 75% of his passes. He wasn't supposed to start. He had the worst offensive coaching staff in the league in a bottom three skill position group. And both of those things have changed. So I saw flashes of a high ceiling in an awful situation. If you were buying stock in Mitch Trubisky, like, do you believe he's a buy? Or are you a believer?
You know, I think I'm a little more skeptical than it sounds like you are, just because I want to see more than I saw last year. And I agree with the caveats that you're offering, that the coaching staff was not good, the receivers were not good. I think that there's no question it should be a better offensive scheme. Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, he should have better targets. So I'm not necessarily down on Trubisky, but I just want to see a little something before I totally buy in. And, you know, when they traded up from 3-2 to draft him, there was no question at all that Ryan Pace was a big believer in Mitch Trubisky. At that time, I wasn't as sold, and I guess I just didn't see quite enough out of his rookie year to become sold.
Michael David Smith, ProFootballTalk.com, a Chicago guy with us on The Score with me, Danny Mack, and Danny Parkins here weekdays 1 to 6. Positional group-wise, where do you think the Bears are most challenged as they get ready to enter training camp?
Well, I want to see a good offensive line. I mean, to me, that is a huge part of whether Mitch Trubisky develops, is whether he gets the kind of protection he needs. But, you know, when I look at the Bears personnel-wise, I see so many areas where over the last couple of years, I think to myself, boy, they would have been better if they had been healthier over the last 2 years. And there were so many injuries. So I don't know if I even want to pinpoint a position group that individually needs to improve as much as I want to say, you know, the bad luck with injuries that they had over the last couple of years is something that they have to fix. And I think usually injuries are more about bad luck than anything else. I don't necessarily think there's a lot you can do to proactively fix it. But to me, when I just look at it, I just think the Bears need to be a healthy football team. And that's something they weren't over the last couple of years.
Yeah, 31st and 32nd the last 2 years in terms of starters' games missed. So absolutely horrific injury luck, and then there's always the debate about if there's more that they can do to help it. You know, it's a worst-to-first league, right? That's why people love the NFL, parity. There's usually about a 40 to 50% turnover from the playoff field every single year. Do you have a win expectation for the Bears this season in a tough division?
You know, I think they are probably looking at right around 6-10. If I were to pick a record for the Bears right now, that's what it would be. But like you say, I think the most fun thing about the NFL is we can sit here in July and say every team we think of as 6-10 is only a few bounces of the ball, a few calls going the right way, a couple of young players developing. It's not a big difference from 6-10 to 10-6. You know, so one of the most fun things I think about the NFL is at this time of year, when you're talking about a 6-10 team, that sounds like a disappointing year. You know, if you're a Bears fan, you're like, okay, we've had enough last place finishes in the NFC North. We want to be better than that. But you know, the fun thing is 6-10 isn't far from 10-6 in the NFL. It's not a big spread. So could the Bears be that surprise team this year? I think it's possible. I think if Matt Nagy proves himself to be a good coach, I think if Mitch Trubisky has that second-year leap forward that we've seen in other quarterbacks, I think it is certainly possible that they could be a significantly better team than we're expecting. But, you know, if you ask me to put money on a record that I had to get right, 6-10 is the range that I would be going with.
Going back to last season, you were the first national voice I heard, actually read in this case, who was making a case for Case Keenum for league MVP. And I give you credit for being on the ground floor of that, because for the first 12, 13 weeks, he absolutely deserved to be in that conversation. With Kirk Cousins now the man in Minneapolis, what does that do for the Vikings' chances, in your mind, to represent the NFC in Super Bowl 53?
Well, the really interesting thing to me, and thank you for giving me credit, I was noticing Case Keenum when a lot of people were not sold on him, but the interesting thing to me is that the Vikings made that decision, that they felt like paying more money to Kirk Cousins was a big upgrade over what they had in Case Keenum. Now, Keenum was a free agent, but the Vikings could have franchise tagged him. They could have signed him to a deal that would have cost them less than Kirk Cousins. So clearly, the Vikings think they got better at the quarterback position by letting Case Keenum walk and signing Kirk Cousins. But I'm not so sure about that. And I would not pick the Vikings to repeat in the division. I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Packers are the favorites. I also think that, you know, I might rather have Matthew Stafford than Kirk Cousins as well, as if we're looking at NFC North quarterbacks. So I'm not really as sold on the Vikings as I think a lot of people seem to be, because I don't know that they did get better at quarterback, and I don't know that they made the right decision letting Case Keenum walk and spending a lot more money on Kirk Cousins. And you know, one of the things you always have to remember with the salary cap league that the NFL is that every dollar you're spending on one player is a dollar you're not spending on some other player. And I can't help but think that after 3 years are up with Kirk Cousins, we might look at that contract and say, you know, the Vikings would have been better off spending a little bit less money to keep Case Keenum and using that extra money on, you know, bolstering the offensive line, adding depth on defense, whatever it is that you think they should have been doing with a few million extra dollars. I have a feeling that's the way we're going to look at it. So I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback, but I don't think the Vikings got better there the way a lot of people are assuming they will get better because they landed the number one free agent in the league this offseason.
Are you looking forward to episode number two of Very Cavallari, Michael?
I am not a big fan of that style of television. I'll watch when people post a clip on Twitter of 45 seconds of Jay Cutler and his wife talking in the kitchen. It looks suspiciously staged to me, but they call it reality TV. I'm not a big fan of that, so I'll wait and see what people are posting on Twitter rather than watch the whole episode.
Are you saying that you think that maybe there's a little bit more production and scripting in that than it's not just totally natural? Are you willing to break that story right here on the Score?
I'm going to give you guys a worldwide exclusive.
Wow.
Reality television does not always reflect reality. How do you like that?
That is groundbreaking stuff.
I want to flip to the AFC quickly. Does Le'Veon Bell have a contract in time for camp to start with the Steelers, or are they going to go through that drama all over again before giving him a one-year tag?
Well, there's only 6 days left before they reach the deadline where they would have to only sign him for 1 year, and I have a feeling he's only going to sign that one-year deal again, like his old college teammate Kirk Cousins did, and then he'll test free agency next year. So my best guess is the Steelers will open camp without Le'Veon Bell.
Michael David Smith, managing editor from ProFootballTalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael Dave Smith. Thanks a lot for the time, man. We'll do it again.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you.
That's Michael David Smith from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike Adolfo, Rakan has announced Tommy John surgery, out 8 to 10 months. So add him to the list of White Sox players in the year of the rebuild with significant injuries.
Yeah, it's been a bad year on the field in Chicago, in Charlotte, pretty much anywhere White Sox players, past or present or future, are wandering. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah, it's helpful that he's an outfielder. You know, he's not a starting pitcher. So if you're looking for a silver lining there with Tommy John surgery, jeez, at least it's not a pitcher. Jeez. Like, I don't know if that makes you feel any better.
Yay!
8 to 10 months is the timeline there on Mike Adolfo.
For what it's worth, guys, they were talking about this in spring training because he had this injury all year, and they limited him to just a DH role. So he was able to still get, you know, a full half of a minor league season. They split it up into, you know, the half seasons, you know. So I think, you know, they're not thrilled with this, obviously, but he was still able to get a lot of at-bats this year. So there is a silver lining there, I suppose, because he could have missed the whole year.
A full half is a very optimistic way of looking at something.
A full half. You got a full half.
He did get a full half.
So you're saying that I'm a quarter of the boy that half the boy Nate was? That's a botched attempt at something from Dewey Cox. But how much?
Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, do we have an update on the weight of Jake Berger after Achilles number two? Is he up to like 350 yet?
Oh God,
number one pick from a year ago.
I hope not. We do have an update on Nick Shepkowski. I apologize. I was dismissive.
I was too.
And I probably bordered on condescending, which is shocking for me.
Never would have guessed it. Never would have thought such a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really throw this at you.
I did flinch there a little bit. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm not ready to catch that.
Two for flinching.
Yeah, so I guess I will be flying near Iceland when I fly
probably
to London.
Right over it or very close to it, yeah.
How about that?
See, you follow Flight Tracker, you throw that up for your anytime you go across the Atlantic Ocean, and you learn things. So I was able to present that today because I have done that twice, three times now, and waved at Iceland each time I went by.
The more you know.
Are you going to read a book while you're in the air?
I'm hoping to knock myself out with pharmaceuticals and sleep.
Really?
Yeah. Landed like 6 in the morning. Got a big day.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I
love the private. I love reading on airplanes.
If I'm awake, I have a couple books downloaded.
It's the best time to read.
When you're awake. Yeah. I got a couple of books downloaded. I got some shows downloaded. I got some podcasts downloaded.
Read about the Winston-Salem Dash full half season.
The full half season. For the flight back, I'll have the Heavy Fuel crew reunion. The bumps just got me ready to go. The promos. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, on the way there especially, I would like to sleep.
Okay. Makes sense. You've got a big week ahead of you.
Big week.
Big 8 days.
Big 8 or 9 days, whatever it ends up being. Dexter Fowler spoke about the Cubs and the situation in St. Louis with the Chicago media. You'll hear it next on The Score.
Gregarious personality, effervescent, lights up the room, great conversation, a great teammate. So that's how I know Dex. So whatever, however they're reporting on him in St. Louis, that's their business. I'm just telling you that Dexter, I know, he's a wonderful teammate and a good friend.
It's Joe Maddon on Dexter Fowler, the audio brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medication and testing supplies. I'm sure you've heard about the story by now, but just in case, you go, we go. Dexter Fowler signs the $80 million deal with the Cardinals, and he's really, really struggling this year against righties and lefties, and he's barely playing.
He's lost his job.
He's been replaced, and John Mozeliak, the president of the Cardinals, did his weekly interview with the Cardinals television broadcaster, and he basically called out his effort. Effort and energy. And it was just very public and not normally the type of thing that you see from a modern-day executive do for the modern high-priced athlete. And Joe Maddon and other people within the Cubs publicly came to his defense. Dexter Fowler said that he appreciated that, but now he's in Chicago. So Bruce Levine and other members of the Chicago media had a chance to talk to Dexter Fowler, and here it is.
Between baby number two, you've had a chaotic week. How have you processed everything just in the last 7 days as you get back out here on the field, you're in Chicago, and you're wanting to move forward now?
Just try to keep things in perspective, you know. At the end of the day, you know, you just got to take it day by day and an hour by hour at this point. Got a beautiful family. Everything's going. So, you know, just trying to get back out on the field and get back into my rhythm.
What's the difference in organization philosophies? I know you moved on from Chicago, and this is your home, and these are your guys. I understand that. But is there a different way that you know, each organization treats people? Because you've been in four now, I think.
There's obviously there's different variables in every organization, but at the end of the day, it's like you when you're out here, every philosophy is the same, and that's the win.
I'm sure you don't want to get into things, but do you take criticism? Is it easy to shake it off? Do you use it as motivation? How do you
get there? A little of both. A little of both. You know, you depends who says it. Depends who says it. If your wife or somebody saying it, that you got, yeah, then it's like, okay, yeah, I gotta listen. But you know, other than that, you just gotta. Sometimes you just gotta roll with the punches.
So if it's a boss or an owner, does that motivate you? Can you shake it off?
Yeah, of course you can shake it off. I believe there's anything. If there's anything you can do, that shake it off. And you know, when I look in the mirror and you know yourself, and you just go out and like I said, try to have fun and get back in your rhythm and do what you need to do.
You worked exceedingly hard throughout your entire career to get to this point. Is this right now frustrating for you? Because you've had other bad halves and come back and hit good years before.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's baseball. It's baseball. It's just a matter of, like I said, it's a matter about going out and get some reps and getting out there and having fun again.
One of the things I always loved about you is how you were able to self-reflect on who you were at the time and how you've grown. How have you felt like you've grown through this process? What have you learned about yourself?
Definitely matured a lot. Obviously, it could have gone one of two ways. You could have, you know, folded and been mad. But, you know, you shake things off. You forgive people. You forgive, you know, everybody. Like, this is right about just going out. Like I said, you know, this is put it in perspective. It's a baseball game. It's a baseball game, and, you know, it could be a lot worse.
Just to use a recent example, we were talking to Theo Epstein about Yu Darvish and his big contract, and he said, yeah, it's hard to live up to that. And guys have that. It is natural. Do you feel that at all?
I don't even think it's the contract. People make it about the contract. You know, you're going to struggle in this game. If you didn't have, when I didn't have a contract, I struggled. But, you know, it's magnified because people are like, oh, yeah, you got to get come on now. Like, it's baseball. Like, you're going to struggle. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're human. And I think when you think about stuff like that, man, that messes things up. But other than that, I think that it's magnified from the people. So.
Dex, with the, obviously you want that bat to get going. And they're trying to win games, so they're trying to put the hot guys out there. Do you recognize the tricky situation it is for everyone involved, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been around this game a long time, and I see that. And you know, you just gotta, when you get your chance, you gotta go in there and try to put them together.
What was the beauty of the way Davey Martinez and Joe felt with you personally? I mean, it went beyond baseball player coach, didn't it? As far as that relationship.
Joe and Davey, obviously, you know, are different than any other obviously coaches that I've dealt with, and you know, it's obviously it's a ton more laid back or whatnot, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to adapt to every situation.
For, you know, fans, like you mentioned, the big contract today, or you're asked about that on a personal level, what has it been like going through this situation where you know, you know, there's better at-bats coming and you want to do better? What's it like personally?
I think it challenges your patience, obviously. You just got to sit back and, you know, try to help the team out in any way you can, like whether that's helping the guys out, you know, what you're seeing out there, or, you know, and stay engaged in a game like that. I think I'm valuable doing that as well. But basically coming out when I get my chance and be ready to go.
Like Bruce said, he knows that these are your guys now. But did it make you feel good about yourself to hear what your former manager had thought about you and your time when you were in Chicago?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Any time that somebody reflects and they remember and they know you, they've been around you, they've been with you when you're in the trenches, and, you know, they have good things to say, that's always a plus.
Former Cub Dexter Fowler on the South Side Audio, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
Thank God the White Sox are just 7 miles south of Wrigley, because professional teams come to the South Side too, and it gives us a chance to produce content about things that aren't related to the team that actually resides in the ballpark there.
Like Manny Machado.
Yeah. There have been several occasions this year.
There have been.
We're newsmakers. Cubs stuff, Cubs-related stuff, in this case, an ex-Cub.
That's right. I just pulled up his numbers. In 221 at-bats, Dexter Fowler has a 167 batting average, 270 on base, 271 slug, for a 541 OPS.
That's dreadful. How old is he? 33?
I believe
34.
I was gonna say younger. Yeah, 32.
32.
32. Okay. 32 for Dexter Fowler, and you know, he's signed through. He's a free agent in 2022, so he signed through the 2021 season. So he's halfway through the 5-year, $82.5 million contract. A little less than halfway through, actually.
I hope he turns it around. He was my favorite Cub on the 16 team. I loved Dexter Fowler.
I think he was a lot of people's favorite Cub.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously not the homegrown thing.
His story
about
the way he went to camp, and, yeah, that was you don't hear many stories like that in baseball these days, or anywhere in sports.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, obviously Bryant was more popular, Rizzo was more popular, so I'm not saying that you were, like, in a huge group of people necessarily, but, like, just, it was a really easy story to get behind, and then they gave him so much love for what happened with that team, because he had signed the 1-year deal,
right,
and camp, and you go, we go, and the leadoff hitter, and hit in the home run in game 7, and just like everything about it.
What was that 1-year deal? It was less than $1 million.
No.
Was the 1-year deal with the Cubs? I thought it was like 900 grand.
I thought it was like $10 million. So you and I
maybe are... I'm thinking of the one the previous year. There was a $900,000 contract somewhere I'm thinking of.
I thought that he got...
Involving Dexter Fowler?
Yeah,
he made $8 million in 2016, $9.5 million in 2015 as a Cub.
Okay. Yeah, you're.
Is that his bonus for winning the World Series?
Maybe that's what it was.
I suppose it's possible. But yeah, he was an easy Cub to root for. Yeah. Said all the right things, veteran influence.
Well, we gave him a leadoff man.
Yes.
He was consistently on board. Not this year, though.
Cubs leadoff spot production is fantastic. Can you look that up, Shep, what they're getting from the leadoff spot? I saw it 10 days ago or so, and it's pretty damn good compared to the rest of baseball because our guy Albert Almora has been up there. Zobrist has been up there doing a lot of really good things at the top of the lineup. I'm telling you, Ian Happ against righties, when you look at his splits there, he's been a bottom of the lineup guy mostly, and that's fine, you know, no pressure on him or whatever. But and after the slump that he had at the beginning third or so of the season, it's understandable. But against righties, he's moving himself back up to, I would say, put him at the top of the lineup.
What did Casper say last night? I think he has him fourth among all switch hitters in baseball in OPS.
I missed that from the broadcast, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. He is just. He's a really talented offensive player, and I get why he's not quite as popular among Cubs fans because it's power of a difficult compare.
Sure.
Right? You know, if he was on the Orioles or the White Sox or the Royals or, you know, fill in the blank team that's
or
having.
Or the Blue Jays. Maybe Ryan Barucki can get a little offensive support.
Yeah, but
score a run for the kid from Mandaline.
It'd be nice. But it's just like the guy he's underappreciated. He's like, we've gotten into a weird place where a guy who's that young, who's that productive offensively, because there's just so many other young, productive offensive players around him, or he's just not that popular. Cubs leadoff spot this year, a .360 on base percentage, third best in the National League.
Acceptable. .360 is okay.
That's pretty. I mean, third best in the NL. And it's just interesting and why that's, you know, there was a lot of talk last season, especially after Fowler left, about not having one leadoff hitter. And Joe was like, that's dumb.
Lineupistas!
Yeah, and Theo and Jed defended it, and they all pushed back against it, but it was a constant conversation on these shows and in the paper and being asked of Joe every damn week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need consistency? Does it need to be the same guy? Is it like closing? Like, is there a mental side to the game of being the leadoff hitter? And they're like, we are second in runs scored in the damn sport, and the first place team is the Rockies. Like our offense is producing at a totally reasonable rate without, you know, Ricky Henderson at the top of the lineup. And they would even go as far as to say, like, if Ricky Henderson was available, we'd love to have him. But
right.
You look around baseball, there's not that many guys that play every day and are leadoff hitters every day. That's just it's such a game based on splits and matchups and all that, that it doesn't get there. But if you missed Albert Almora, we'll bring in him to you at 5 o'clock. And I know there's another story. I feel like there's something that's been slightly eating at you from yesterday. I want to bring it back up. Just based on the email today, I wanted to give you a chance for a little mea culpa if you wanted it. I might be doing a little psychology reading here, but I just
I want to
give you another shot. So the tease even for you before Albert Almora at 5 on the score. McNeil and Parkins on the score, brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Albert Almora in 20 minutes. And before the end of this segment, I'll give you a shot at a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino.
Kind of guy he is. He's going to give you a shot at it, listeners.
Just a giver.
You are.
Just a giver over here. Dishing out assists left and right.
You got me nervous.
Well, I'm going to start reading your pre-show emails. I was kind of teammate I am.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned yesterday after our conversation about Tom Hanks when Chris Tannehill stole the show and won the Tom Hanks movie draft because it was his 62nd birthday. You called him a top 5 living American actor.
Yes.
But you mentioned in one of the breaks, I don't know about my top 5 or I don't know who the 5th is. And then it came up again in the email. So, you know, I just wanted to give you a shout while I was still fresh.
Have you
thought more about your top 5?
Well, I enjoyed reading many of our listeners as they texted because I think many agree on the first several. Tom Hanks, the birthday boy yesterday, is there.
He's tough to argue.
Jack Nicholson, I think not everybody, but I think a high percentage of people would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's alive. He's not really working anymore.
Right.
But his body of work is beyond reproach.
Robert De Niro is in my top five.
It's been so long since he's done anything good.
Yeah,
but I mean, but yeah, he's obviously amazing.
And then it gets a little bit murky as to who else fits in this group. I had Gene Hackman in it, but I can be talked out of it.
It's funny because, like, I would definitely go with you on your top three, but if I'm doing, like, my personal favorite
actors...
See,
these aren't my personal ones. These are the ones I'm saying I think to be the most highly acclaimed, the most box office success, the most recognition at the Academy Awards, Q rating, that sort of thing.
So Q rating is an interesting way to do it, right? Because Jack Nicholson is probably number one in terms of Q rating.
Or De Niro. Well, they all have a very high Q rating.
They all do, no question. Yeah. But it's like, you know, if last table at a restaurant, there's one available, who gets it? Or who sits front and center at the Oscars, right? Mm-hmm. Front and center, Meryl Streep always, right? She mm-hmm. is front and center.
Yes.
Oprah, if she shows up, is front and center. Jack doesn't even show up. Like, he's got so much of that allure,
right.
Mystery, doesn't do interviews, doesn't submit to profile pieces, that sort of thing. That, like, if Jack showed up at the Academy Awards, I think he would be front and center. I have a really hard time leaving Denzel and DiCaprio off the list.
I give real strong consideration to Denzel Washington as well. And as much as I'm an enormous fan of Leonardo DiCaprio, I think there's a long way to go in his career yet. He's only won one Oscar. Is that right? Is he
yeah,
one,
nominated
right?
for a couple, but right. only won the one for The Revenant.
And I don't even think that was his best film. But the name that didn't come up yesterday, and our texters throw a ton of good ones at it, Clint Eastwood was a name that was mentioned by many texters yesterday. Yes, not among my favorites, but who cares what I think? The guy's got a 50-year filmography that's very, very impressive.
And people keep throwing in Daniel Day-Lewis. You're doing American.
Right. We're talking about America. This is America. Robert Duvall is the name that never came up yesterday that I think is definitely one. I know if you were to ask people who are actors, they would go hard for Robert Duvall.
Interesting. You think he's the actor's actor?
I think they have a lot of regard for his chops, yeah.
Okay.
Duvall!
Thank you, Kevin.
I do also. But again, this is not about me.
No.
But I think he's part of the conversation.
Sure.
And people say, what's the matter? You don't like Pacino? No, I Pacino's fine, but... Dustin Hoffman is a name that gets thrown out there regularly, and maybe.
It's funny, though, because how you're doing it is, I guess, a little different how I had thought about it, because to me, Q rating, a big part of what goes with that is you're still a working actor, and some of these guys are just not doing roles or meaningful roles with any degree of regularity anymore. Like Matt Damon is a movie star. And that guy puts out good movies, and he puts out a lot of them. And you're right. DiCaprio doesn't have a ton of movies, but you want to talk about, like, a diversity of roles and movie star. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio walks into a club in Hollywood. He walks into Nobu for sushi or whatever. They're removing a lot of celebrities, a lot of A-list people.
Yeah.
If there are no tables available. But if Leonardo DiCaprio walks in, he's like, I want a table right now. Like, they're kicking Mila Kunis to the curb. You know what I mean? Like he is a mess. And none of that is totally ridiculous and anecdotal that I just created. But he is an as A-list
I'd like
as
to eat
gets.
With either one of them.
Yeah, as would I.
I don't know which one I'd want to go home with more.
I believe you. But he's just as A-list as A-list can get. So, like I said, he would be in there for me for sure. Denzel, DiCaprio, Nicholson.
We're talking all time. Where are we at with Brando? We haven't mentioned him once yet.
Well, he's dead.
So they have to be actively...
To be on the
work.
List of living American actors.
Oh, living. Sorry, yeah, I missed the caveat.
There's a lot of caveats that's here, okay. Danny.
Danny's dominating this 2 days in a row.
Mr. Full Half over here.
You know what? Humphrey Bogart's out, too.
What if they haven't done anything in like 15 or 20 years?
Well, some of these guys, I mean, career is basically dead.
No right. question. That's no doubt.
I mean, like, so people keep saying De Niro. Like,
De Niro's, he's still making movies.
They're not good.
No, I'm not going to defend him.
He's a political activist. He's a hell of a businessman. He has an unbelievable catalog. Like, I'm not denying his talent.
Didn't you love him as Victor Taleggio in American Hustle? He was in the movie for maybe 9 minutes when he sniffed out.
It was a real stretch of a role for him.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
So we're not going to reach any sort of consensus here.
I don't know. It's subjective. It's a matter of not my opinion. It's what I think the masses would reveal if everybody who considered himself a film student would evaluate this.
Let's not forget Silver Linings Playbook for old Bobby.
That's fair. That was a good movie. And some people say in the intern had some redeeming qualities. When did The Intern come out? It had to be 8 years ago at this point.
2015.
Whoa. Little off. Your boy Parksy. All right, fine.
Making a comeback, though, with The Irishman, hopefully, in 2019.
Cautiously optimistic about The Irishman. All right, fine. De Niro's still on there.
Whoever suggested Sylvester Stallone, please, you're suspended from texting the score for the next 24 hours.
Wow.
No more.
Iron fist over there.
Yeah.
So my Nick Cage recommendation off of Con Air.
I'm glad you recommended Con Air. It thoroughly entertained me both times I watched it. Yes, Tom Hanks is on the list, Dexter. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Who joins him?
Yeah, Hanks is no question.
Hanks is there. De Niro is there.
Where you guys at Gene Hackman?
Mac had him there yesterday.
I had him yesterday, but I can be talked out of it, I suppose.
It's just like for people, I guess, I'm probably the last, me and Danny, a couple years younger, and those people probably don't even know movies he did.
Right.
Because what's the last time he did something? 2005-ish? I don't even know what his last movie
I don't know
was.
The last Gene Hackman movie. I'm struggling here on my five. So I'm going a little bit more. I'm going on your curating thing. They walk into a restaurant or they're at the Oscars. Who do they want in the front row? Like, I'm sorry, they don't want Robert Duvall in the front row of the Academy Awards if they can have Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, Robert Duvall may not go to the Academy Awards because he was upset that the judge didn't get more consideration a few years ago. And he was brilliant in that film, too. Just absolutely fabulous. Nobody defecates on himself better than Robert Duvall.
Oh, it's a tremendous role.
Yeah, it is.
That he had there. Call number 8, by the way, to the Scores Contest line, 312-591-6700. You win a $100 dining gift card to Four Winds Casinos. Head out to the Four Winds Casino New Buffalo Pool Bar on August 3rd for an International Beer Day celebration, including beer tasting and live entertainment. Albert Almora in 10 minutes. You mentioned, because Leo is in my five for sure. The Aviator, though, I have not seen.
You ought to see The Aviator, and it's long. It's 3 hours, but it's germane today because today is the anniversary of when Howard Hughes set a record flying around the world in 91 hours. Now, I'm not a guy who loves long movies. Scorsese could have made this film 4 hours, and you still wouldn't have encapsulated the interesting life that was led by Howard Hughes. I would submit to you, based on what I know, and I still haven't started the book I got on Howard Hughes, I can't wait to get after it. There might not be a more underrated character in American pop culture in the 20th century than Howard Hughes was. He's a movie mogul who was instrumental in international air travel. He was a playboy, came from money.
A billionaire, right?
Yes,
oil?
Yes. Drill bits out of Houston, Texas. He had a ton of issues. He had a lot of deep-seated psychological problems, phobia.
OCD.
Yes, he was OCD about the way the food was placed on him. He was a germaphobe, and he got that from his mother, which we learn in the movie.
Okay.
But a guy who bedded down with every Hollywood starlet he wanted to, and a guy who wound up buying a TWA while he was flying around the world in 91 hours. He did that on the radio. He bought TWA.
What do you mean he did that on the radio?
He did it on the radio. Unless Scorsese's telling us a lie in The Aviator, he did it while he was setting a world record. He communicated over the radio to finalize the deal of purchasing controlling interest of TWA.
Wow. All right. That's a hell of a lie.
Yes. He's a guy who likes a full calendar.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'll check it out.
Catherine Hepburn, Ava Gardner, all of the great actresses at times were at that time were women he spent quality time with.
Sure. Okay. A man of his years. And so what's the name of the book?
I'm not even sure if I have it committed to memory. It just arrived the other day.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I think it's The Life, the Legend, the Madness of Howard Hughes. There have been 50 books written, but there was nothing mentioned about this guy in our history books. In
a very readable book.
There should be. There was nothing said of him. All we knew was he was an odd dude who was a recluse. That's all we knew about Howard Hughes. He sealed himself off from public life. Well, we didn't know all of the amazing things that he had done. He's a remarkable human being.
I will have to educate myself more. I know a little bit about him, but I had never seen the movie, and you're painting a pretty convincing case. But I got to be honest, I also had never considered most underrated American pop culture icon of the 20th century. Like I had never gone there with those qualifications in my own head.
You need a longer commute.
Probably.
Yeah.
That is probably.
See, that's how these synapses fire.
What about Tom Cruise?
As what?
In the top five American...
I said actors, not movie stars. Tom Cruise is a fabulous movie star. Not a real good actor. I enjoy his films. Anytime Tom Cruise is flying a plane, I'm down.
Yeah?
I have fun when Tom Cruise is in the air.
What's that movie?
American Made.
American
Made. It's running this month right now on all the 500.
Yeah, no. I saw it. It's
fun.
It's entertaining. I mean, but you talk about a catalog. You talk about Q rating. You talk about box office success. And I've read people who say, like, Tom Cruise, once he eventually is done with the action thing, because he's so insane and committed to all the stunts and does it all with the Mission Impossible movies and produces them and does his own stunts and all that, that, like, the late-stage career Tom Cruise, he'll remind everybody that he actually is incredibly good at the whole acting thing. I'm not sure if it's true, but...
Did you see Magnolia?
No.
His role in Magnolia is as dark a role as you'll find for Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I just rewatched Tropic Thunder recently. He's hilarious.
How'd that go for you?
Hilarious. that movie's legitimately funny.
815 Texter has the real kindredship with me and Howard Hughes. He peed in glass jars. Maybe that's why I find him so fascinating. Yes, he did.
Texters keep sending in non-American actors for our greatest American list. And Peoria Matt, always helpful. What about Tom Hanks? So, thank you.
What about thanks?
Exactly right. Albert Almora next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.